From WXXI News in Rochester, this is Connections. I'm Scott Feibusch, in for Evan Dawson today, and our connection this hour is being made right here in Rochester in just a few weeks between one of the greatest minds of the 16th century and some young 21st century minds in search of a new challenge after a tough start in life. In just a few weeks, 10 at-risk teens from Hillside's Reinvesting in Youth program will be taking the stage for a performance of Shakespeare's Henry V. It's part of a pilot program that includes not only Hillside, but also the Rochester Latino Theater Company and the Rochester Police Department. We have a packed studio this hour full of representatives from all of the agencies involved in the program, as well as a couple of the stars of the show. Wayne Harris is the Deputy Chief of the Rochester Police Department. Glad we could have you with us here.
I'm glad to be here.
Today, Jennifer Perry is the Program Manager for Hillside's Reinvesting in Youth program.
Thank you for having us.
Bernard Plansky is the director of the performances and a Shakespeare artist, and we're going to talk to you during the course of this hour about some of the ways that you've used Shakespeare in some unconventional ways over the years. Annette Ramos is the founder and executive director of the Rochester Latino Theater Company.
Nice to be here.
Stephen Bryant is a case manager at Hillside. Welcome.
Thank you.
And we have two Hillside students. Tyler is 13 years old. DeShante is 14 years old. Welcome to Connections. Go ahead and say hi.
Hello.
Hello. All right, so let's talk about what's going on here, because this is absolutely fascinating. You're all coming together in a pilot program in which you're spending, 12 weeks bringing these kids together and learning Shakespeare. And I want to start, I guess, with you, Bernard. Talk a little bit, if you would, about how you came into this, because you've done Shakespeare before in some other unconventional settings. A couple of years ago, you directed Henry V in a performance by homeless veterans with substance abuse problems down at the VA hospital in Bath. How did you get involved in this, and how does Shakespeare fit into these lives that are so different from half a millennium ago?
I never liked Shakespeare. I found it really boring until one day when I was at a trauma conference in Boston. The director of the conference had heard that judges in Western Massachusetts were actually sentencing teenagers who had gotten into trouble to an innovative program at Shakespeare and Company called Shakespeare in the Courts. And the kids were doing really well and weren't showing up in front of the judge anymore. So this colleague, Dr. Bessel van der Kolk, got very interested, brought the speaker in to a trauma conference as the keynote speaker in a scientific conference, and I was really inspired and taken by her. I knew that in some way, could find some way to make this work in medicine. The very first time was actually working with homeless veterans down at the VA hospital.
We should mention you're also an MD. We should get that in there.
Yes.
Yes.
And it became very clear with the veterans that they had found themselves stuck in a cycle. They were being discharged from one of the best domiciliary campuses in the country back into the community, and then they lacked a certain resource to stay on their feet. But if they came together as a band of brothers and sisters, which is Henry V, mm-hmm. they could stay connected and help each other and care for each other. And so they began to take on this other story, and they came to me and they said, "Doc, can we do this play?" And we did.
And this was 2 years ago?
This was 2 years ago. And then the good deputy chief and Jennifer had come together looking at perhaps this could be brought to our group of present cast members. Could we build something here that could form a band of brothers and sisters, build a community, and actually help each other take the step forward in a different direction? And that's what we're doing now.
So you brought this to Hillside and the police department? This was, where did the spark for doing this come from? Was this from your end, from theirs? Who wants to deputy?
Well, I guess that would fall to me. Jennifer and I belong to an organization called the Rochester Youth Violence Partnership. And obviously some of the issues surrounding violence in the Rochester community are extremely important to us, and we look for innovative ways to address it, not just a law enforcement address, but in other ways to sort of get to the root cause of some of the violence. So through a conversation that Bernard and I had, I invited him to come into one of our meetings, and at the meeting was Jennifer, and I asked Bernard to sort of talk to the group and explain his program down in Bath, and Jen recognized the implications and the possible applications for Hillside, and we sort of got together and started having coffee and talked about how we could transform what was occurring in Bath to here in the city of Rochester using some of the youth from Hillside. I knew that Annette was very, very instrumental in a lot of the productions that occur in and around town, most recently and notably the West Side Story project that she did last year. And I suggested bringing her into the fold and sort of having her join our band of brothers and sisters to put the whole thing together. The police department's role became one of a bridge building exercise so that the youth that were involved could see police officers in something other than an enforcement capacity. So we actually have two officers that have gone along on this journey and have taken part in all of the rehearsals and will be part of the production.
Are they doing this, is this on their own time? Is this something they're doing as a...
They volunteered to do it. The officers are Officer Mike Chula, who is formerly a Rochester City School District teacher, also trained in musical theater and operatic singing. And Officer Amy Bauer, who is very, very interested, and both jumped at the opportunity to do this and very happy that they did, and they both seem to be having a ball.
Excellent. Jennifer, I want to bring you into the conversation here. We want to be respectful of privacy considerations here with the kids who are involved, so we're not going to get too into detail about exactly what brought them into the program, but in general we can say that these are kids who have had experiences with law enforcement over the years. Explain to me sort of where Hillside comes in. Talk to me a little bit about the program that they're involved in that brings them into being part of Henry V.
Sure. The program is Reinvesting in Youth. It's through Hillside. And the interesting thing about the program is that it is really a community collaborative. One of the main tenets is this idea of an anchor model. And that idea is to root kids in with resources in the zip codes where they live. And so the consortium is a partnership with neighborhood settlement houses. We partner with Charles Settlement House, Community Place of Greater Rochester, and Swan, who is in fact hosting Shakespeare. And we have staff that are employed by them, but work with our team, RIY, and they're called Asset Navigators. And they work on doing the kinds of things we're doing in Shakespeare, which is building use of time in ways that feel important and connected to the community. The second piece of our program is to have an academic liaison. So that person goes into the schools with youth and helps reinforce what are the things that might not be going smoothly, what are the things that we can do to help support your attendance and your ability to continue to excel, and that is through Encompass. And then Hillside provides case management services because the focus of our community is really around the central part of Rochester. It started with what we call the Crescent in Rochester to address the issues of poverty and trauma and really the high referral rates to facilities. And so we're doing an early intervention and diversion model that works with kids before they get to that point and really wraps those three resources I described around them. And when I heard Wayne and Bernard speak and then subsequently Annette talk about her goals for West Side Story, it really fit in with the idea of trying to find creative ways to address trauma and empowerment with the youth that we're serving.
How did you choose which of the participants in the program were going to get to be part of this? Because there are 10 of them altogether that are involved. What were some of the criteria that you looked at?
So we looked at age. Our program, RIY, serves kids 11 to 17. And so we wanted kids who had enough capacity to really absorb some of the materials. So we started 13 and up. And we put it out to kids. Who was willing to take the risk? We gave them a little bit of an incentive. There's a stipend attached because there are not many kids that we meet in any demographic that sort of say, yeah, let me go and spend a whole lot of time reading Shakespeare. So we wanted to do that, but I think it's been a really long process, and the stipend is pretty menial after the amount of work that's gone in. So these kids have been really motivated. We've lost some kids to attrition. So at this point, I think we're working with really a core group of kids who show up all the time of six, but it's been incredibly transformative for both the two staff participating and, as Wayne described, the police officers and the youth. It's just amazing to watch their transformation.
We are talking about an upcoming production of Henry V, not your usual production here, performed by students who are involved in this program at Hillside. We should mention, and we'll mention this again before the end of the show, the performances are taking place March 11th at 6:30 p.m. and March 12th at 3 p.m. at the Wilson Foundation Academy at 200 Genesee Street. Open to the public, free admission, a $5 donation is requested to support the program, and I have a feeling that probably at least some of the people who are going will contribute to one hopes maybe even more than that, potentially. Let's bring Tyler and DeShante in here with us, if we can get the mics in front of you guys. So somebody comes to you and says, hey, we're going to be doing Shakespeare. What was your initial reaction? What do you think at first when they said, hey, do you want to be involved in this?
I wasn't that excited or interested into it.
What pushed you into it?
I thought about it, and I was like, maybe it'll be good, so I wouldn't judge it just off of, like, because of Shakespeare, and that might be boring, so I just took a step and tried it out.
And we've already heard your director here say that he didn't like Shakespeare at first. And we're talking here about, you know, language that is 500 years old, that is tough for a lot of adults to wrap their heads around. So you've got this suddenly presented to you. And what did you think at first? I'm guessing that neither of you had ever read any Shakespeare before.
No.
What did you think when you started reading it?
It was different. I thought it was more like, old, like you said, like, I never heard of it, so it was kind of cool.
Tyler, how about you? What brought you into this?
When my teacher, Miss O'Leary at Urban Church Charter School, showed me a book about it, and we started reading in the class, and I really got a feeling of it after I finished the book. So I decided to make my choice and go to Mr. Stephen Bryant and worked with all the staff, Ms. Bernard, Ms. Ramos, Ms. Jennifer, Mr. Harris, Mr. James, Ms. Amy, and Mr. Mike.
So you got a big staff involved in this. How much time have you been spending on this?
Well, I've been spending a lot of time on this. About like 45 or minutes about on this.
Each day?
Oh, not each day. About 2 hours or an hour and a half.
Every day?
Mm-hmm.
That's a serious commitment to get into this. Had either of you ever had a chance to do any performing before, or is that brand new to you too?
Well, I did a play when I was little, The Nutcracker, but I don't think it was from Shakespeare.
Postdated it by a couple of centuries. Stephen Bryant, you are here with us as well. Have you got the mic in front of you there, too? You're a case manager at Hillside. And one of the interesting things that comes up in having this conversation, I mean, this is tough sledding even for people who are reading at grade level, and a lot of the kids that you work with aren't reading anywhere near grade level either. So how do you begin to approach this with them?
I believe that what we try to do is we try to get them to, one, understand that, you know, the commitment and their willingness to try something new is something that is deemed to be praised. So, you know, to having that experience is something that we strongly encourage. And then also, you know, we we support them throughout the whole process. So anytime any consequences or challenges come up, you know, we process with them. And then what's beautiful is that this is, it all builds upon each other. So, you know, the young people that are involved in the program, they already have a rapport with myself and some of our staff. So, you know, there's a level of trust that is already was in place prior to this. So knowing that we would only present things that are positive experience and things that we know that they can see to the end, they trusted us enough to take that risk. And, we make a conscious effort to recognize that and that growth, and that these young people are very resilient, meaning that, you know, with all the trauma and struggles that they endure on a day-to-day, their ability to be part of this, they see that they see the benefits of it. And I think that's something that collectively that we try to encourage our young people to remember, because a lot of these skill sets with accountability, commitment, these are all life skills that are viable in every aspect of life. So, you know, to actually have that type of engagement at such a young age, we hope that it build momentum for them so that they can see a brighter future.
I want to bring you into the conversation as well here on Connections. You are invited to join us by phone at 844-295-9994. You are also welcome to join us on Twitter. I am at Scott Feibusch on Twitter. And, of course, you can also call our usual local dial-up number, 263-9994. We'll get you in touch with us as well here on Connections. Again, I'm Scott Feibusch, sitting in for Evan Dawson. We are talking about Shakespeare on the Streets, which is being performed in March. I want to come back to you for a minute, Stephen. And you know, you mentioned challenges, and without again getting too specific about any one situation here, give me a sense, for people who are thinking about coming from a more privileged background and having theater in schools and having reading programs in schools. Give me a sense of what you're dealing with in your program with some of the experiences just generally that some of these kids have or haven't had the privilege of having over their childhood.
Well, it varies, of course, case by case. But generally, we're talking about low socioeconomic. We're talking about broken homes where there's single parents. We're talking about violence, which is something that they see on a day-to-day basis in their local communities, and sometimes, a lack of positive self-perception. So, I mean, these challenges are things that, as adults, are difficult to overcome. So imagine that as a young person. But I, like I said, we are family driven. So what our program prides ourselves on is actually meeting with those families out in their natural environment so that they feel a sense of empowerment. And then from there, programs that we try to adhere to are things that the family actually wants. I mean, we have an ideal of what could benefit the family and the youth, but to hear them say that they want to be a part of something and they start to have ownership of their own lives as young people, I think that's very powerful, and I think that's very transformative, and it really is our main focus and goal of our program.
And Jennifer, you wanted to jump in there on this as well?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk for 1 second about your comment around grade level reading.
Yeah,
I think one of the important things to recognize is, as Stephen described, we have a variety of different skill sets. Mm-hmm. Our youth are reflective of the city school district's demographics, and many of the folks in that demographic have reading levels below fourth grade. I wouldn't attribute that to the youth that have joined us today. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that's been really impressive is that the youth that are participating in Shakespeare probably have, they have a much higher one. In fact, when we take kids in, we do their math and reading levels. One of the things that we're looking at through the Shakespeare program is whether those increase from wherever that they are. The youth who are participating in Shakespeare are meeting one of the goals that we have in the program, which is as they get engaged in more positive community-based things, their school attendance goes up, their performance goes up, and they start to feel, like Stephen said, really positive things. And so I just want to be clear that that it, not, you know, the kids in the Shakespeare program, they read pretty well. Comprehension is a challenge. Mm-hmm. But that's true for everybody in Shakespeare.
Oh, absolutely. Right? It's you know, there's none of us who has the life experience in the 21st century that's going to be immediately relatable without some deep digging into the text. Annette, let's bring you into the conversation.
Yes, I would love to chime in. One of the key things that we discovered while we were working on the West Side Story project was that theater as an art form in and of itself can serve multiple gifts to a community. One is obviously the entertainment and artistic quality, but it can also bring about social change. It could bring about social awareness. It can engage youth at a level that really looks at all of their skill levels and begins to develop that. So our students really went through a process. Bernard and I designed a program around looking at what is the language, how do you learn what the language is, reading the language, defining the words, circling that, rewriting it in modern day text, and therefore deepening their level of comprehension around it. And then beginning to get them up on the stage was an exciting part, because all of a sudden it became solidified. The text jumped from the page to the stage. And that whole process we discovered through the West Side Story encounter was incredibly building of character, building of their skill set, and their social their abilities to engage in community engagement. And it also bonded them to law enforcement, because the police officers were on the stage at the same time, taking that same creative risk. And we've seen that in our classrooms and through this process as well. So is theater a healing form? Is theater an opportunity for social change? Yes, and yes, and yes.
Hooray for the arts. We want to go to the phones here very quickly before we go to our break here. Susan and Avon, you are with us on Connections.
Excellent. I just wanted to tell your guests that I love what they're doing. I work as a dance theater specialist with adults with developmental disabilities, and we've done both Macbeth and Hamlet in modified versions, but it's just a wonderful thing. It's just a wonderful thing. I also teach at GIFA, so I wanted all of your guests to know that Summer Academy auditions are coming up in March. If they want to recommend any students, they can feel free to get in touch with me or to GIFA Theater.
Super. We will pass that along to them. Thank you for the call. We're going to take a quick break here. We want to get you into the conversation as well. I want to make sure I give the correct phone number here. It's 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, or you can always call locally, 263-9994. Shakespeare on the Streets is our topic. We will continue in just a few moments here on Connections. Next hour on Connections, The Jew is Not My Enemy. That's the title of a book by Tariq Fatah, a Pakistani-Canadian Muslim writer who's been stirring up controversy with his writings about anti-Semitism in the Islamic world. He'll join us ahead of an upcoming appearance in Rochester, and he'll be taking your questions, too. Stay with us for the second hour of Connections.
This is WXXI AM Rochester, WRUR FM and HD Rochester, WEOS FM and HD Geneva, and WXXI FM HD2 Rochester.
In 1927, the Supreme Court ruled that the Commonwealth of Virginia could sterilize Carrie Buck. Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes notoriously wrote, "Three generations of imbeciles are enough."
He didn't just uphold the Virginia law. He wrote really a clarion call saying, "We need to do a lot more of this. Our nation is at risk. Go to it."
Buck v. Bell and American Eugenics later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4 on your NPR news station.
Welcome back to Connections. I'm Scott Feibusch, in for Evan Dawson, who has the day off for perfect attendance, we should mention. So. Congratulations, Evan. You can reach out to us at 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. or locally 263-9994 in Rochester. On Twitter, I am at Scott Feibusch with two T's. And we have a full cast in here. I think the studio is about as full as I've ever seen it here. From the Shakespeare on the Streets program, we have Wayne Harris, the deputy chief of the Rochester Police Department. Jen Perry is the program manager at Hillside's Reinvesting in Youth program. Stephen Bryant is a case manager at Hillside. Annette Ramos is the founder and executive director of the Rochester Latino Theater Company. And Dr. Bernard Plansky is directing the performance. We're going to get to you in just a second if you want to get the mic in front of you there. And we have two of the students who are participating. We'll be talking to them a little later in the half hour. Tyler and Ashante are here with us as well. And again, you two. Let's go right back to the phones here. And we have John in the city with us on Connections. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to, first of all, Annette Ramos is probably the person who will turn any project to gold. Hi, Annette, it's John.
Hello, John.
I just want to applaud all of your efforts. Bringing history's greatest storyteller to the youth of our city is such a wonderful project. Annette can tell you that we had great success with Westside. I wish you all the best, and to the students that are involved, just cherish this opportunity. It will absolutely help shape the rest of your lives. And I'll take my comments off the air.
All right. Thanks for the call, John. We should mention, too, Susan, who called earlier, mentioned being involved in GIVA. And Annette, you said the students have had a tour of GIVA, and that GIVA's been involved in this, too.
We were very, very pleased to have GIVA open up their doors to us. And the students took a tour to really see what a full-scale production looks like. They even got to observe some of the To Kill a Mockingbird rehearsals prior to opening night. So that was very exciting. And one of the things that we loved was that they really got to see how professionals do it. And very much the model that Bernard and I followed was similar to that whole, you know, table reading, taking the text, understanding the text, relating to the text, and developing character and performance from that. So it was a wonderful experience for them. Tyler, what was your favorite place at GIVA Theater? Which place did you most enjoy being at?
Well, I enjoyed being basically excelled and looking at other people on stage at GIVA, practice and rehearse and practice. Even if they mess up, they keep it going.
That's exactly right. True. It's true in radio, too. That's what we do, too. Deshante, what struck you being at GIVA and watching them do what they do?
It was the same as his, like, when they was practicing. It was, like, very interesting to me to see how hard they was working and how, like, the good came out of it and stuff. So, yeah.
I want to bring Bernard back in here because we started talking during the break about the language of Shakespeare and about the particular text that you're using. So talk a little bit about the choice of text and let's get to a little bit before we get too deep into this half hour, into some of the themes specifically of Henry V and why this particular play is being chosen to speak to this particular audience and these particular performers.
So we're using what's called the first folio text or the actor's text. Two of Shakespeare's principal actors, 7 years after his death, went to the printer and said, here's 18 plays. Oh, here's 18 more. Print them. We'll be back. When they came back...
Basically from memory.
No. They had actually... back then, when you actually wrote a play and you bought it, it's yours. So I actually had to get it back from you. Oh, okay. Think of just how it took 7 years. And what they did was they did a number of capitalizations and punctuation changes. So if a listener said, I really enjoy this show, it would be written out a capital R for really. So that when you spoke it, it'd be as if it was heard. When it went into literature, the R became small. So our cast members are actually using the original text, and they've been learning the rhythm, the rhyme, the patterns that are within the text, that when things line up, it's just like basketball. When you say the words and the body and the mind are on the same page, it's net. And everyone can feel that little tingle. those weren't Shakespeare's words. Those were Tyler's words. Mm-hmm. That was Dushyanti speaking. And so there's a built-in feedback in the form that everyone in the room can feel. So it's victory after victory, triumph after triumph. Why do we choose Henry? Because we're all in the same boat together. We're going to reclaim the missing piece of our kingdom. We're all coming together in common cause to do something we've never done, but we can. And why are we doing it? Because we're able to do it. Maybe not alone, but together, as a band and brothers and sisters, we are doing this play. And the French, they have one strategy. They're going to give up. It's going to be too much for them. But they don't know. Our cast is all in. We're going the distance. And the English had the greatest victory against the greatest odds. And it is my privilege to be here with these cast members. And anyone who comes to this play will be utterly amazed to hear them speaking Shakespeare's words as if they were in the Democrat and Chronicle today.
Impressive. Performances are March 11th at 6:30, March 12th at 3 p.m. It's at the Wilson Foundation Academy on Genesee Street. Open to the public, free admission. A donation of $5 is requested to support the program. How many people can you accommodate for this?
About 120.
About 120 people.
Better get your tickets now.
So tickets are available ahead of time?
So we're expecting in the next day or so to have a link through Hillside where people can reserve them. Doesn't mean that you have to buy them. You can reserve them for free. There is a spot for a donation. And then you can also just show up at the door and purchase tickets.
And this is not the entirety of Henry V that you're doing, right?
No, it's actually the exact condensed version that we did down at Bath with the veterans cast.
So how long does it run?
We were thinking an hour and a half.
Okay. How much stagecraft? You've got sets going in this too. You've got costumes.
We're using what's called bare Shakespeare, which is a concept of a bare stage, minimal props, everyone dressed in common color of black with their costume to signify, but it's the words themselves, the spoken words, that are actually what are our costumes. So we were relying upon the spoken words coming from each person.
How do you draw people out who are not accustomed to performing, who are not accustomed to being on stage and to having lights on them, or perhaps to being in a radio studio in front of a microphone, as the case may be?
We started off actually with basic theater games, and the theater games really built confidence and skill level. So we started off with large group games, and that also began to develop the skills of focus, concentration, collaboration, participation. And then each week we increased the theater games to a higher level of risk factor. And that began to develop ensemble work, trust, because many of these students came and they did not know each other prior to the program. They knew their adult mentor and they knew some of the other adult participants. Also, Bernard and I wanted to create an environment where they were empowered to choose the parts that they wanted. After our description, they watched videos of excerpts of Henry V, and then we began to really dive into the text, and we partnered them with a partner where they read the text, they had websites to look through and understand the meaning of the word, and then co-write together a modern-day version of that text. So that built collaboration, commitment, engagement, partnership. Again, theater is a community experience. So, but all of our kids had to be committed to actually speaking the text on stage. That was a very important part. We didn't want people to not rise to the same level of commitment. And we've had it. So that's the wonderful part.
That's fantastic. Dushyanti, you've been doing this. Tyler, you've been doing this. You guys ready? You looking forward to actually being out there and doing this for real?
Yeah.
You still sound a little uncertain.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yes, but before, about the third week or fourth week, I just had too much on my mind, so I took one day off. And I thought about it, put a hard thought about it. And then I called Mr. Steven the next day and told him that I was at home thinking about what I'm doing, and I decided to do Shakespeare because it will help me go through some obstacles that I can go past and will be helpful in the future.
In what ways? How do you think this is going to help you as you go forward from here?
Well, it can help me get more public speaking and more perspective about Shakespeare because I ain't know about it at all. Also, it can help me help other people that is going through the same problem like me and get them into Shakespeare, and they'll get a better perspective about it like me, and they'll excel and succeed to their dreams.
Excellent. Dashanti?
That was a question.
How do you think this is going to help you going forward from here? What have you learned so far, and where do you think this could take you?
I've learned how to express like my character in front of people, and like more participation because I'm not like a big participator, so I learned how to do that and. You know, just be myself, not worry about what others think. So I think it'll, well, that's how, what I learned from it, but.
What roles are you guys playing?
I'm playing narrator and Bates.
Tell me about your character there.
Bates is a soldier in the English army and helps fight the war in, helps fight against France. And narrator basically tells a story throughout the play in every scene.
Dashanti?
New Orleans. Isn't it a soldier in the government, right?
A general in the French army.
Oh, it's a general in the French army. But I'm New Orleans.
Excellent. So you got about 2 weeks left before showtime. Bernard, I'll have you grab the mic back there. What's still left to be done? What, as you get into these last couple of weeks, what's your focus going to be?
Two things. Everyone in the audience, we think of as a member, the extra member of the cast. So we are speaking to the room. And this is not just our story of being able to come together. It's the room story. So we're speaking to everyone together. Right now, in the next 2 weeks, we're looking very much at where movement on the stage is happening. And really, those are the big things right now.
And the continuation of just the narrative pieces, the constant repetition, and really running through the scenes of the play as well as the flow. So you're really looking at story arc. Mm-hmm. You're also looking at just really that comfort level on stage and stage presence as well as stage blocking. So it's this week was the first time they actually got their stage blocking. So again, the more they practice, the more confident and capable they will be.
Fantastic. We are talking about the Shakespeare on the Streets program. We have representatives in studio with us from the Hillside Reinvesting in Youth program. Deputy Chief Wayne Harris is here from the Rochester Police Department. I'll have you pull the mic in front of you because I want to come to you next. Dr. Bernard Plansky is directing the performance. Tyler and Dashanti are in the performance. Annette Ramos, who you just heard from, is the founder and executive director of the Rochester Latino Theater Company. We're talking to you as well. We still have time for a few more calls at 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. And Thomas in Rochester, you are on with us on Connections. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Hi, Annette. It's Thomas Warfield. I just wanted to say one quick comment. First of all, the young people you have on today are just amazing. I loved listening to their analysis and explanation about what they're doing and how they're doing it. It's just, it's great. You know, it's great work that you are doing. We sometimes, you know, look at the arts as, well, sometimes elitist. That's one thing, you know, and by teaching Shakespeare, you know, you really break that barrier. There's so much cultivating and nurturing that goes on in the work that you guys are all doing, and maybe the most important work you could be doing for our community is what you're doing with these young people. And so I just wanted to applaud you. You know, the things that they're learning will, some of them are subconscious and won't even come up until years later, but they will be excellent directions for their lives. And so I just wanted to call in and say how grateful I am that you are involved in this work. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you so much, Thomas. And just in case the students here don't know who you are, why don't you introduce yourself to them so they know who's talking to them?
Well, I'm Thomas Warfield. I'm the head of dance at the RIT and do a lot of things in theater around the city. And I'm always encouraged and inspired when I can hear young people talking about their lives transformed through art. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for the call. It's inspirational, I think, to see all the different pieces of the city's arts community sort of all coming together around this. And Annette, I want to get to you here and ask, where do you see this going from here as far as sort of the city theater community that you're so involved in?
Again, you know, reiterating what Thomas has just shared, we are really, there's a movement going on in Rochester around artists of color and bringing them into high quality theatrical and performing arts experiences. And that is actually part of the commitment of the Rochester Latino Theater Company. So our mission and vision is to really give a level of opportunity for our students to really elevate them out of the Crescent Zone, out of not having these quality theatrical and artistic experiences. We're talking about actually having a wraparound program, bringing in new students and doing the same program and just making it better. I would love to see even a partnership with a urban school, with a suburban school partnership and collaboration around children of different and diverse backgrounds coming together. And really, our kids now are experts at this particular approach to Shakespeare. So they can actually teach other kids what they've learned. And that's a wonderful thing because they're now garnering leadership skills. They're now developing self-esteem and contributing value to our community. So I dream big always. And the wonderful thing is that the police department and Hillside and all the other community partners have really embraced a different and unique approach to really elevating our population of youth in the city at those at-risk youth and giving them equitable opportunities for artistic expression and, by the way, academic development, because the arts absolutely increases academics. There is no doubt. There's lots of documentation out there. I don't need to pontificate on the specifics of that, but it is there. And our kids are now reading Shakespeare and understanding it and having the tone and the rhythm and the comprehension skill.
That's fantastic. I want to bring Deputy Chief Harris back into this and talk a little bit, if you would, about what benefit this brings back to the police department and in your ability to be in the same place that that the public that you serve is.
So public safety being one of the major pillars of Mayor Warren's administration, it's very important to her as well as to Chief Simonelli. And the reality is that there's not a law enforcement agency on the planet that can do what we need to do without the assistance and cooperation and collaboration of the public that we serve. So this was an opportunity for us to impact the city of Rochester in a positive way, not only to build a relationship between the youth that were involved and the police officers that took place, but to also develop a way for us to do something together so that it wasn't just a uniform versus the people that are out there. It wasn't just us interacting with the public in an enforcement capacity. This was a project where the youth could get to know me as Wayne, and I could get to know them as Tyler and DeShante, or Officer Mike, as Tyler said. This was a way for us to build an understanding and to further a relationship. And, you know, if we're going to be effective in policing our community, we have to have that relationship. And if you look around nationally at some of the stuff that's occurred, there's an argument that can be made that part of the reason some of those things occurred was because there was no relationship between the law enforcement agency and the community that they serve. So this is an opportunity for us to build that relationship. This is an opportunity for us to get to know them and for them to get to know us.
How do you measure going forward what the concrete benefits of this are going to be? If somebody is going to come to you and say, gee, I'd like to put money behind this, I'd like to put a grant behind this, show me that it works. How do you go about demonstrating that?
Well, it's an interesting question. I don't know at this point. This is in its infancy, so it will be difficult for us to measure its success until maybe 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line, where we see a decrease in some of the issues that we're seeing here in the city of Rochester. If we take violence as a category, for example, if 10 years from now we look up and we see that there's a stark continuation in the decrease of the level of violence in Rochester, and we can somehow equate that back to programs like this or relationship building exercises like this, then we can say, you know what, this was positive, this was a success. I think right now that this is brand new, that, you know, we're just sort of developing this, it'd be difficult to say, you know, what's going to determine a success. I will say that this has been a positive experience, not only for the youth, but for the police officers involved. And I have to mirror what Annette said, that my goal and my hope is that this will continue, that we'll do this again next year, that we'll have a whole new crop of students in, some of the old students as well, and a whole new crop of police officers that say, you know what, yeah, I wouldn't mind being involved in something like that.
Are they getting on the stage too, the officers?
Yes, they are.
Excellent.
So I just wanted to follow up with what Wayne said, because I think I agree on the larger measurements. We do have some tangible measurements, and one of the reasons we chose to work with the program is because when kids come into Reinvesting in Youth, we do three different assessments. We do one from a community-based perspective that looks at their life skills. We do another one called the Developmental Asset Profile that looks at what many people in the city know as the 40 developmental assets, and what kinds of things do they have internally and externally that we can measure, and can we increase those, because we know when we increase those, kids do better. And then we also have the STAR assessment that Encompass does, which gives us the math and reading level. And so we are going to do pre and posts on the kids that participated in Shakespeare, and we'll compare them to some of the kids that did not participate. So we will have some tangible information. It'll be interesting to see, and hopefully that'll be impetus for someone to want to see more.
Fantastic. We have time for one more phone call before we get to the end of the show. Elaine, in the city, you are the parent of one of the students who's involved in this?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the show. How's it working out as a parent?
Actually, it's working out great. Wonderful. I'm very proud of my daughter. She's doing excellent. She's vibrant. She's doing very well in the program. She's in your studio right now.
So you're DeShante's mom.
Yes, I am.
Uh huh. So what changes have you seen? Go ahead and embarrass her here on the air.
Well, actually, nothing embarrassing. She's flourished, absolutely. She's taking everything by the reins. I'm hearing so many wonderful things in regards to Shakespeare. She's come out of her shell. I've just seen her just flourish under the staff, everybody she worked with. She's become a leader, so to speak. And that's not something she normally does. She normally is like a quiet child. Shakespeare had actually made her more outgoing, so to speak.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very positive program. I have nothing but positive things to say in regards to my daughter, the program, and I think I would really like to see the program continue.
Super. I'm seeing some big smiles in the studio over those comments, and that I think is a good place to kind of leave it at this hour. We want to remind you that if you are interested in seeing Shakespeare on the streets, and frankly, after hanging out with all of you for the last hour, I certainly want to go. March 11th at 6:30 p.m., March 12th at 3 p.m., Wilson Foundation Academy, 200 Genesee Street is where it takes place. There will be ticket information available on Hillside's website soon, as I understand. We'll get it up on the Connections website as well. Free admission, open to the public. Donations are requested. Thank you, everyone, who's been with us this hour. I am Scott Feibusch, in for Evan Dawson. Thanks to John Andrus and Megan Mack behind the scenes, making it all happen. We'll be back next hour. Thanks for being with us here on Connections.